to be part of it. So we go to the scripture today, and Sherry's trying to remind me of something. Yeah, she clears her throat. There's a certain effect that I get when I hear that. And she's reminding me that this coming Wednesday night, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, there is no worship service here at the church. Many folks are preparing for Thanksgiving or leaving, so there is no worship service. Was there anything else, Sherry? We have that. Great. Thank you, honey. I thank the Lord for my wife, because I would have totally forgot to say that. So thank you, Sherry. Our scripture, a thanksgiving to remember, Philippians 1, 3 through 4. I thank God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy. This holiday feast that we know as Thanksgiving, it dates back to November of 1621. Look at this next PowerPoint image with me. It's an image of Thanksgiving. When the newly arrived pilgrims and the Wampanoag Indians gathered at Plymouth, they gathered for an autumn harvest celebration. What a celebration it was. It's often looked back as the very first Thanksgiving in the United States. The pilgrims who come here for religious freedom, they were a grateful people. They were grateful to God. They were grateful for the Wampanoags for helping them. They were grateful for Squanto, the Indian, who had been captured at one point years earlier, taken to England, learned English, and finally had made his way back to his native land. This man knew English as well as the Indian dialect that his tribe spoke. And he just so happened to be at the exact location at Plymouth where the pilgrims landed. Actually, it didn't just happen. It was God ordained, because he was a great blessing to those early pilgrims. They were gathered together in the area that we know today as Plymouth, Massachusetts. And Governor Bradford declared a day of public thanksgiving of those early pilgrims to be held in October. Well, Massasoit was the chief of the Wampanoags, and he had been invited, but he unexpectedly came a day early. How would you like it when you invite the relatives over, they show up a day early? Not only they show up a day early, but they stay 3 extra days. Well, that's what happened. That's what happened with this celebration. And not only did he come, but he brought 90 Indians with him. Now, you might not have been prepared for 90 extra folks to show up, because we know that these early pilgrims, to feed such a big crowd, it could cut into their stores they'd lay aside for winter. But I tell you, these pilgrims had learned one thing. They knew that through all their travails, that God could be trusted implicitly. Well, as it turned out, the Indians didn't come empty-handed. In fact, they brought 5 dressed deer, and they brought 12 big, fat, wild turkeys with them. And they helped in the preparations, teaching the pilgrim women how to make hoe cakes and tasty pudding. They learned how to make tasty pudding out of maple syrup and cornmeal. They also showed the pilgrims how to make one of their favorites, and that was white, fluffy popcorn. And you thought it only originated at the movie houses. The Indians showed it to the early pilgrims. Well, the pilgrims, in turn, they provided a lot of vegetables from their garden, and they also used some of their precious flour. And they took some of the dried fruits that the Indians had brought with them, and they showed them how to bake an apple and a blueberry and a cherry pie. And I'm sure the Indians loved them very much. And I look forward to my cherry pie on Thanksgiving Day, Sherry. It'll be great. Well, along with that, they also made a sweet wine made from wild grapes. So in all, it was a joyous, wonderful occasion for all those that came to that first Thanksgiving. They competed in contests and foot races and wrestling. They just had a great time, and things went so well, as I said earlier, that he decided he couldn't leave. He stayed 3 extra days. But the moment, according to history and those that were writing these events, the moment that stood out the most in the pilgrims' minds and hearts was William Brewster's prayer, his prayer of thanksgiving that day, the prayer that began the festival. Because they had so much to be thankful to God for providing their needs by His hand and His provision, by providing this Indian, Squanto, that knew their language, that was a teacher and guide and a friend to them through those early critical years they were there in Plymouth. Look at this next image with me on PowerPoint. You recognize that man standing in the center as Abraham Lincoln. Sarah Josepha Hale, a 74-year-old magazine editor, wrote a letter to President Lincoln on September the 28th, 1863. It was right in the middle of the Civil War. In her letter, she said these words, "The day of our annual Thanksgiving made a national and fixed Union festival." In other words, she urged the president to have a specific day set aside. She explained to him, she said, "You may have observed that for some years there's been an increasing interest felt in our land to have the Thanksgiving held on the same day. In all the states, it now needs national recognition and authoritative fixation only to become permanently an American custom and institution." She said, "Mr. President, we've had all these different holidays, all the different states, and so we need your declaration so that we all on the same day, every year, come together and give thanks." Well, on October the 3rd of 1863, shortly after receiving this letter from Sarah Josepha Hale, President Lincoln made it official. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. These are the words that he put forth. He says, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise." And I love this last part. "A day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Now, I love the fact that President Lincoln, when he set aside a day of thanksgiving, he wasn't saying, "Let's be thankful for all the stuff." He said, "Let's be thankful." What does it say again? "Be thankful to give praise and thanksgiving to our Heavenly Father." It was a religious holiday. Boy, we've gone a long ways from that in America. It began based upon the idea that we must all together in the middle of this great battle, the Civil War, pause and recognize that God is our source. And we give praise and thanks to our Heavenly Father. Well, those words, thanks and thanksgiving, they're recorded in the Bible 149 times. I think they matter a lot to our Heavenly Father. We're all familiar with David's expression of thanks. You'll see it on this next PowerPoint. It's Psalm 92, 1 and 2. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning." It's good. We talked about that earlier when we started worship today. How good it is. How good we feel when we pause to remember to give thanks and to give thanks to the Lord. And then this next scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and 17, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you, in everything give thanks." Think about Paul in this text is writing to the church. When we started in our original text today in Philippians, Paul is writing to that church in Philippi. He's reminding them that they need to be thankful for each other and to be thankful to God for every time he thinks of them, he thanks God for them. He thanks God for those in that church. He thanks God for their faith. Well, there's three important points I want to make today on this subject of a Thanksgiving to remember. And it takes us to the first point here on PowerPoint. Number one, there's value in remembering. And God gives us the ability to remember. Well, at least most of us still have the ability to remember. I realize sometimes we're a little bit challenged. Sometimes my transmission slips a little bit when I'm trying to remember. But y'all understand, God gives us value in remember, and He gives us the ability to remember. For example, look at this next PowerPoint with me, the Scriptures reminding us to remember. Ecclesians 12 and 1, "Remember now your Creator." We should just think about that every day, shouldn't we? My Creator, remember now my Creator. In 2 Chronicles 11 and 24, that's Corinthians 11 and 24. "This do in remembrance of me." I read those words once a month when we partake of communion. Because we pause, we take of Holy Communion. When we do that, we look back and remember what Christ has done for us. We remember our Savior Jesus. Revelation 2 and 5. Again, Jesus is speaking of the church in Ephesus, and he says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. He says, you've lost your first love. They've drawn cold in their spirit. They've lost their first love. He says, remember where you've fallen. Remember what it was like when you first trusted in me as Lord and Savior. Remember the peace and the joy it gave you. Remember the purpose it gave to your life. Look back and remember that. And don't let go of it. Don't grow cold in your spirit is what he's saying. Luke 17 and 32. Remember Lot's wife. God tells us to look back and remember what happens to those that are disobedient. There are consequences for disobedience. It's important that we remember that. Sherry looked back one time when she was driving and she turned into a telephone pole. But that's another story. She loves me to say that. Anyway. Still some laughter. We've got to remember. The Lord would have us to remember the high points of our Christian life and our walk with Jesus. We look back and remember the day that we got saved and gave our heart to the Lord. We look back and remember the day that we were baptized. We look back and remember the day that we were filled with the Holy Spirit. We look back and remember the day when God came through and He touched us and He healed us. We were asking for His help and His healing in our bodies. And we say, thank you, Lord. Maybe some of you can look back in your own individual lives and remember a mother or a father, a family member, maybe a friend that prayed for you and you knew they were praying for you. And by example of how they lived their lives, you knew they intimately and passionately loved Jesus. You knew they loved the Lord by the way they lived their lives, and you remember that. The great preacher George Truett tells of a boyhood story growing up in North Carolina. He said that every morning his mother would go out to the apple orchard. And there she'd just spend a little time. They weren't sure what she was doing out there. They just knew that whenever she came back from the apple orchard, it seemed like the light of heaven would be upon her face and there would be a sweet song on her lips. Well, he and his brother were curious to figure out what was going on. So one day they hid out in the corner by a rail fence where she couldn't see them. And after a while, their mother came down to the apple orchard at her accustomed time. And they watched her. And she knelt down under an old apple tree. And she began to cry out to God. She began to ask God for His help. And she said, oh Lord, You've given me these boys and I cannot bring them up the right way without Your help. I will make a shipwreck of their lives if I cannot help that help from You, Heavenly Father. And she went on to pray and to praise and give thanks to God. Well, the little boys, they quietly went back to their duties and their chores and playing, as little boys do around the farm. But that day, they learned a great secret. It was a great secret that George Truett never forgot. They would remember that for the rest of their lives. And that secret was that they had learned that there is only one source for help and for strength. There's only one source for us when we call out for help and strength, and that source is God. And they knew that their mother knew that source. They knew their mother was connected to that source through her faith in Jesus Christ. And they had learned this secret as their mother had prayed. What a great memory that is. So God's word shows us there's value and importance in remembering. And it also shows us, on the second point, on the next PowerPoint, there is value in remembering positive things about other folks. Now, so it's so easy to look at the negative sometimes. It almost seems like we're built to always see what's wrong with things. In our scripture text, remember the words of Paul? He said, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Now, that's an incredible statement. I thank God upon every remembrance of you. He's speaking to the folks in that church. Now, were the folks in the church in Philippi, were they perfect? Of course they weren't perfect. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. There were probably folks in that church that gossiped. There was probably folks that dwelt on the negative. There might have been a few troublemakers in that church. But Paul was saying, but I think of the good things. I'm looking at the good things. I'm remembering the wonderful things about you and what your church is doing and not the negative. That's the way we should be in our own minds, shouldn't it? Think about what's good. In fact, I'll tell you, just in the last week, I received a report, a very serious report, about six terrorist cells that are infiltrating into churches all over America. These six terrorist cells, many of them believe that they're offshoots from Osama bin Laden's training and his ideas. And they've been operating in these churches, and as offshoots of bin Laden, they've been identified. They know what their purpose is. The different groups are known as been sleeping, been arguing, been fighting, been complaining, been critical, and been missing. That's quite a group, isn't it? And their leader is Lucifer Ben Evil. He's trained these groups to destroy the body of Christ. And see, the plan is to come into these churches disguised as Christians and to work within the church to bring division and discouragement and disrupt and destroy anything they can. But, praise God, there's been additional reports of another group that's been in these churches. It's a tiny cell group. It's known as Been Praying. And unlike these other little cell groups in the churches, Been Praying does not blend in with whoever or whatever comes along, if you understand what I'm saying. See, Been Praying does whatever lifts up the body of Christ. The folks in that Been Praying cell group, they had this unique characteristics, very unique characteristics. Characteristics like been doing, been working, been faithful, been believing, been watching, been waiting, been fasting, been longing for their master Jesus to come back and to take them home. I tell you, the church will accomplish what God desires. And the church will do so wonderful in reaching others in this community that needs the hope of Jesus when we join that cell group, Been Praying. That's the cell group I want to be part of, Been Praying. Paul made a conscious, loving decision, a willful decision to focus on and remember those that were faithful to the work of Christ. Look at this next PowerPoint with me, this scripture in Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report. If there is any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate or pay attention to those things. Remember those things, he's saying. Remember the good stuff. Paul remembered people that were caring and generous and sharing of themselves and helping others. He remembered folks that were great witnesses for Jesus. Can you look back in your life and remember folks like that in your life? Caring, loving, giving, smiling, full of joy, ready to always to share and be a witness for Christ. I look back at my own life. I think of my college and career class Sunday school teacher, James Porter, who was the best man in my wedding, and what a great influence he had on my life. And Wayne Word, who was my boy Sunday school teacher for years in my class at Urban Park Elementary School, who's also my Royal Ranger leader, later went on to become the district Royal Ranger leader. I think back of my home church pastor, Reverend Wayne Brashear, and how he spoke into my life as my pastor all the years I was there. There's value in remembering. I was in high school. I was in the 10th grade. My family had moved to Oak Cliff. I didn't have a lot of friends, and I was really struggling. And my mother had remarried, and she and my stepfather were going to a Presbyterian church. And nothing wrong with the Presbyterian church, but I had grown up in the Assemblies of God. I just didn't care to go to church with them to that church, and I just quit going to church. They didn't make me go. And I stopped going to church, and I started growing cold in my spirit, and I wasn't thinking about Christ or God. I was bitter. I was angry. I was in a situation that it was a bad marriage, a remarriage my mother had done, and I had a stepfather didn't want me there, wanted to get rid of me, and it was just a bad situation, and my heart was growing cold and bitter and hard and going in completely the wrong direction and not in church at all. And there was a guy in band in high school. I was a 10th grader. He was an 11th grader. He had a car because he was 16. His name was Ralph Waite. Ralph Waite, he had a beautiful 1956 Pontiac. I always remember the cars. He had a great Pontiac. And he would pick me up because we were in band together. We had to go early. So Ralph would come and pick me up every day early to take us to band and a couple other guys. And then at the end of the school every day, we'd get a ride home from Ralph. And we gave him $1 a week. Well, that was a real deal because I didn't have to ride the bus, rely on my parents. And he'd get enough money just to pay for his gas. And it worked out great. He was a good friend. And I got to talking to Ralph about just, you know, my home situation, his kids will talk. And he said, why don't you go to church with me Sunday? And I said, okay. I said, where do you go to church? I had no idea where he went. He said, I go to Memorial Assembly of God Church just down the road on I-35 at Wheatland Road. Our pastor is a fellow named Durwood DeBose. And I said, well, sure, I'll go with you. I didn't know. I never heard of the church. I never heard of Durwood, but I knew it was Assembly of God Church. I'd grown up in that. I thought, well, that sounds good. He's going to come take me. Okay, I'll go. And I went. And I remember that first Sunday, the presence of the Holy Spirit was so powerful. It was a great sermon by Brother DeBose. At the end of that service, I was in the altars on my knees praying, asking God to forgive me, making a fresh new dedication to Christ. And every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, Ralph Waite picked me up and took me to church. I'll never forget his friendship. I never forget a guy that just at the right moment, at the right time, said, why don't you come and go to church with me? Who knows what direction my life would have taken had it not been for that friendship and that great guy, Ralph Waite. We all have those Ralph Waites in our hearts and our minds and our memories, don't we? Somebody that was there that reached out to us. Finally, the third point of the sermon this morning, there's value in expressing appreciation to those we love. You know, we think about Thanksgiving as we get together, we give thanks to God as it should be. But I'm trying to remind all of us that there's value in expressing thanks and love and appreciation to the people around us. Maybe even folks that we're no longer in contact with on a regular basis. Paul remembered people. He looked back and he remembered. And he wasn't just thankful, he told them so. What good is appreciation if it's never expressed? What good is appreciation for folks if we never take time to let them know how much we appreciate what they've done for them? Like love, appreciation must be spoken. Letters need to be written, phone calls made, text messages sent, emails sent, however you'd like to do it, though there's something special about getting a written letter. A way to just to express our gratitude and thanks and recognition in remembering folks, what they've done for us. About 15 years ago, I was still serving as president of Bank of Dallas, and I was financing through the bank a large project in Rockwall. It was a big new movie theater and a big retail center that was going to have a power retail center and a multifamily connection to it. It was a big project, and our bank was funding that. And the customer that was behind doing that project, the developer, had asked me to come and speak at his Rotary Club in Fournier, Rockwall. And I think it was in Rockwall. And I said, okay. He wanted me to just talk about the project and how it was going to bless the community and what a big financial investment was going to be. And so I'm there, and I'm getting ready to speak, and I stand up in front of this group at the Rotary Club on the lookout, and there's my Sunday school teacher and Royal Ranger leader that's a member of that Rotary Club, Wayne Word. And all of a sudden, as I saw him, all the memories of what he had meant to me as a child came back. So as I stood up there that day, and I went through all the benefits of the community of this big financial project, and everything was going to be so great. And at the end of that, I had that opportunity. And I said, and I want to just conclude today by expressing my thanks to a man that's here, that's part of your Rotary Club, without saying his name. And I said, this man was there for me as a little boy. He was there not only teaching my class, but showing me the love of Christ. He would invite me to go on family outings and go to the lake with him and his boys and include me to go skiing and swimming with them. He would be there to make sure I was participating in what was going on in Royal Rangers and make sure he would follow up with me, make sure I had a way to church when sometimes I didn't. All these things this man did, showing the love of Christ to me. So many little things, I can't even count them all. And that man is here today, and his name is Wayne Word. And all the people there in that audience, the Rotarians, looked back at him and started clapping for him. I felt so blessed to be able to recognize and give honor and express appreciation. I think it was a God-ordained event for me to stand there to express to a man that meant so much to me as a young boy growing up my thanks and my gratitude to him. That Philippians 1 and 3, you see on this next PowerPoint, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. Not just at Thanksgiving, not just one day of year, but each day, God wants us to remember Him and to remember others that have helped us in our walk of faith and trusting God. He wants us to give thanks for them, not just for the stuff that we have, but thanks to our Heavenly Father for those divine opportunities and relationships that God ordained in our lives. And we look back and say, thank you, Father, for that person, for those people in my life that He brought into our lives that brought incredible blessings to us. And finally, today I conclude but that just by saying that as our nation gathers with family and friends this coming Thursday on Thanksgiving Day, we must pause and remember to give thanks and to pray for this once great nation, this once great country, the United States of America. We see it deteriorating all around us. May we pray, may we give thanks for what it has meant to us and the freedoms we're still afforded today as Americans. I believe that this country is at a very critical crossroads. We must, as believers, we must be the salt and light in the midst of all the darkness that's around us. We must be the salt and light that shares the hope of Christ in our circle of influence, in the communities that we're all in, and the people that we come in contact with. And we must remember that we can only trust in Jesus. There is no political party, there is no government, there is no initiative, there is no cause. There is only Christ. We trust in Jesus only. And we look back and remember the sacrifice. We remember His sacrifice. We remember God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but would have eternal life. We remember that God's love was so great He gave His Son, that Jesus died on the cross for us, and that we have hope and life and joy, and we'll be with Him someday forever if we put our faith and we put our hope in Him. Let us remember what God has done for us. And let us give thanks. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the Word of God challenging us to look and remember those individuals. As we give thanks to you as the source of all that's good in our life, may we give thanks to you for those people that you brought into our lives, for those individuals that have spoken words to us that encouraged, that lifted, that blessed, that helped. Those that were there, they spoke more than words, that through their very deeds and their service blessed us. Thank you, Father. Let us have a heart and a memory to give thanks to them, to express that to them, to write the letters, to send the emails, to make the phone calls, to stop and say, I remember, and in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you. Lord, I pray for your blessing on all here today and all the families as they gather at Thanksgiving. May Jesus be a guest at every table. May the Holy Spirit minister to each heart as we gather. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.